If you've been hurt by a truck, you can call Colombo Law 24/7 and we'll be there to make sure you're taken care of. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
You on the phones, thank you so much. Thank you for your time and consideration this morning. You know, it's funny, you've been doing this for a while, Valerie. John is yet to notice. You know, but his focus is elsewhere. It's not on the studio, right?
I'll be glad to help, but you usually wave me off.
I just want you to look. 545-9950 is the telephone number if you'd like to be a part of the show. 545, we get a little technical issue with Valerie's microphone over there. It'll be all good. She's handling it. She's an absolute professional. Now, you got to put the mic flag back on there, though. No, you're not going to do that? You're going to do that later. Okay. All right. Well, it's, you know, you do you. That's good. One more hour to go, and Valerie's going to call it a weekend. We'll fix that while you're gone, by the way. Miami.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
You going to see Mama?
I am. I'm so excited.
You should
I cannot
be.
Wait to hug her neck. It's been a year and 4 months because of the pandemic.
A year and 4 months. So
yep.
Not last Christmas, but Christmas before. Last.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of communication, and that's good. And she's been healthy through this whole thing and got her vaccination, and that's great. So we're ready to go. Ready to
that's excellent.
To meet back up, and I'm going to get that opportunity. And I just,
I mean, can you
so
can you imagine? So you're flying in,
mm-hmm.
and will you rent a car at the airport, or you get picked?
Probably
up?
Uber it.
Mm-hmm. So the first time you'll lay eyeballs on your mama will be right there where I saw her.
Yes,
outside of the apartment, mm-hmm. the condo, and I know the road. I know right at the end of the Miracle Mile. Huh?
Maybe I'll get her to tie that thing around the little handle.
Aww.
And then go, let's just recreate what.
And I just want you to just imagine, let the emotion wash over you.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine seeing your mama.
That's
getting to hug her neck and to kiss her face and to say, hey, mama, I love you.
I'm going to tear up. There's no doubt about it. I will. I will probably lose.
Like
I will
now,
probably
I
lose
think,
it. Yeah,
probably.
If we go far enough.
I know.
Don't make me start crying.
I know. I gotta.
I think about that.
I'm gonna win $10 from John Bird. We talked during the break. I said, "Watch this."
I can't go there.
Oh, it's very sweet.
Yeah.
It's
so
very
I'm
sweet.
Looking forward to it. It's gonna be fun. It'll be great to see her. And
you know your mama's listening right now, and you know your mama is hearing you talk about tearing up. And she's probably tearing up.
Don't cry, Mama.
Don't
cry.
She's so excited.
Matt is trying to make you cry. Don't cry, Mama. Be all right. Stop it. You're going to make everybody cry. It's all good.
Oh, well,
she's
you know
healthy
what?
And happy, and everybody's great. And it's going to be tears of joy.
You know what? If I had $5 for every time I made a woman cry, I'd be a rich man.
You would be.
I would.
That bank account would have a lot of zeros attached to it.
545-9950. Let us see. It is Alicia's turn. Alicia's calling out of Gardendale. Hello, Alicia.
Good morning, Matt and Val.
Hi.
I had to take my daughter to the doctor this morning, and I asked her if she'd seen a video of the shooting of the young girl that had the knife, and she's like, I don't want to see it. And we started talking, and I asked her, I'm like, you know, she just went back to remote learning because she's been bullied at school, and we didn't really talk about that this morning, but that's at the forefront of her mind every day, anxious, depressed. But this morning I'm talking to her and I ask her, I'm like, you know, how do you feel about being a white person? And she doesn't like to be white. She doesn't want to be white. She thinks that being white means that you're racist and that you have more privileges than those that are black. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that I told her, I said, you have no more control over your color than anyone else does. God created you to be you, and she's 15 years old. And my situation is not isolated. We've got a generation that's growing up to believe that, you know, that we're at each other's throats and that no one is good enough and no one is the right color. And I'm sickened at it. But on a second note, as far as the shootings that are going on, I would like to just propose this because I think all of the other proposals that's going on about defunding the police is completely absurd. So I might as well just put my 2 cents in. Let's just take all of the white police officers out of the police department let's replace them and recruit with young black officers. Let's let our black officers handle what the chaos that's going on. I honestly don't see people stepping up into those roles because it's a dangerous, it's chaotic, it's the unknown. I think we're doing our police officers a huge disservice by not addressing the issues and the harm and the decisions that people are making. You know, you make a bad decision, there's a bad consequence. And that's just my thought, and I'll leave that there with you guys.
You know, it's got to be gut-wrenching to be the parent, like Alicia, of a 15-year-old child and have that child talk to you about feeling guilty, embarrassed, shamed for being white. Similarly, I hate it that there was a time in American society that the same could be said for young black kids. Remember the study we learned about where the white kids and the black kids were given dolls?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, red dolls, green dolls. I mean, well, I don't guess green dolls, but, you know, black, brown, white. And it was a study about perception. And the kids were asked questions about, well, pick the doll that you want to be or pick the, and like everybody picked the white dolls. Black kids picked the white dolls. It's as if, and I believe this, by the way, that there is a section of society that doesn't want equality. They want comeuppance. And that's wrong. It's wrong. What is it called? This theory that they're teaching, the racial something theory. Oh, gosh, I have it on the tip of my tongue. They are teaching this actively in schools, this concept of by the very nature of you being born, you are racist. If you are white, you
have to be. That is so dangerous. That is so wrong. That is so wrong.
And they're teaching it at major corporations now. This idea of equity exists in the minds of people who want to subjugate entire groups of people, segment them based on their color. I mean, several years ago, we were talking about no whites allowed areas, mm-hmm. no whites allowed zones.
Yes.
I mean, where do you think this is all going, mm-hmm. folks?
It's headed to, and she mentioned it, and I don't know the last caller, if she even knew about it. We spoke about it earlier. It was your April Fool's joke that we did. How long has it been now? Like 6-7 years ago, something like that?
Maybe even longer than that. Yeah.
And Matt proposed, and she mentioned it. Matt proposed, and again, it was an April Fool's joke that only black officers could arrest black suspects.
Yeah, we
and there were enough people that believed it that the mayor's office and the police chief got calls going, what's going on and what's this about only black officers?
We got called to stand out. This was in the aftermath of a couple of accusations of excessive force on the part of the Birmingham Police Department, and one of the accusations had to do with a white officer and a black suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And April Fool's Day, you try to come up with something that has enough believability that you're going to sucker people in. But at the same time, doesn't really do any harm to anyone. And so what we did is the morning of April Fool's, we said, you know, in the aftermath of several incidents involving the Birmingham Police Department, particularly an incident at a nightclub downtown in which a white police officer got into an altercation with a black suspect, there was an accusation of racism. And therefore, Mayor William Bell has issued an executive order and proclamation. And that executive order states that no Birmingham police officer is allowed to arrest any suspect of a race other than their own. In other words, if there is an arrest that needs to be made, a white officer can arrest white suspects, a black officer can arrest black suspects, and if a white officer has a black suspect,
he has to call for
backup.
Mm-hmm. very similar to the Chicago mayor saying that you have to ask for permission from your supervisor before pursuing a suspect on foot. I mean, that is as ludicrous as your April Fool's joke.
And 8 years ago, or however long it was such an absurdity. I thought, I actually remember saying to you, because you were like, "That's good, Matt.
I thought it was good."
And I said, "Valerie, I don't think anybody's going to buy it. It's too easy.
I think in this environment, there may be some that believe what you're saying."
And enough did. About halfway through the show, we were getting the stand down from the mayor's office. What are you doing? You know, tell everyone this isn't true. Well, flash forward 8 years, and now you have legitimate news stories about the mayor of Chicago, like you say, Lori Lightfoot, saying
you need permission.
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to pursue a suspect on foot unless you call in and get supervisory permission.
Here's the problem, and again, you mentioned it earlier this morning, and I have thought it all along. When the George Floyd incident happened, one of the questions that I asked very early on: why is everybody screaming that this is a racist situation? Based on that police officer, Chauvin, who is white, and Floyd, who is black, we're calling this a racist situation. Well, you don't know whether, and again, we've gone through the court systems with it, but we didn't know at the time Chauvin's heart. We didn't know whether or not he was a racist, but yet the entire time, based on the color of skin, we were saying racist. Aren't we past that? Shouldn't we be way past the point of saying something is racist just based on the color of one's skin?
I have yet to see any evidence. And I'll offer this once again. You're talking to somebody that believes that Derek Chauvin, based on what I've seen, was guilty of at least manslaughter.
Right. And I think we've said it. Everybody agrees. Should have had the knee off the neck long before he did. Should have rendered aid to Floyd long before ambulance showed up.
But I've seen no evidence that race had anything to do with this.
Didn't hear any of that, as far as I know. And I didn't listen to every single bit of it, but I listened to a lot of that trial. But I didn't hear, and that was one of the things that I was most interested in. What was the relationship between these two? Because we had heard that Floyd was doing some part-time stuff or had in the past as a security or something at one of the bars, and that Chauvin also did some part-time stuff, and they knew one another. I never heard a connection about whether these two knew one another, and I didn't hear anything about this was racist. But yet it became a racist story just because of the color of skin. And I think is that really where we're at now? That we just call a situation racist because one person is white and one person is black?
Well, it's a byproduct of when you run a news story about a police interaction with an individual and both of them are black or both of them are white, it's a police officer and a suspect or a police officer and a citizen.
Right.
But if the police officer is white, they always identify the police officer as white. I don't think that America or local communities are getting the full picture about the number of interactions that officers of all races have with citizens of all races.
Right. But it feels like every time they're just looking for the next white officer and black suspect or the next shooting, and they're calling it that. And we totally ignore white on white or black on black or whatever the other scenarios might be. But we totally ignore that. And I just think that's really dangerous where we are in this country.
And why is there a complete misperception about the number of times an officer is going to shoot a black suspect? Because of the media. I mean, it really is. Jim, Marie, Lane, and Hub, all of you are very important to us. And we'll get to you in mere seconds. I do want to remind you about West Blunt Lawn and everything they do up in Hayden Corner and the surrounding communities. If you're within the sound of my voice, it's a short drive. They are your authorized and official Husqvarna dealer, the only source for Husqvarna product that I would recommend. Amy and Dana, ask Amy about her backstory. It's pretty cool. I mean, I just love the idea of Amy sitting there behind the counter helping customers, and a customer comes in. Hey, I need to speak to the owner. Well, you're talking to him. No, no, the real owner. No, that's me. I'm the real owner. I mean, it's funny, but it is. Not every day you see the ladies of Husqvarna behind the counter. Well, you can at West Blunt Lawn, but you wouldn't go unless they had great product and great customer service, and they've got all of those things as well. They can re-up that mower for you for spring and summer. Go by and see them. West Blount Lawn Care in Hayden Corner on exit 284 I-65. All right, Talk 99.5. Matt Murphy, Valerie Vining, Johnny B. Behind the Glass, thank you for being there. Thank you all for whatever time you're able to give us. 13 hours of live and local conversation on Birmingham's Real Talk, Talk 99.5. Toward that end, we go back to what our busy telephone calls this morning with Jim in Locust Fork. Hey, Jim.
Morning, Jim.
How's it going?
Pretty well.
I just had a couple of points. Yesterday, a caller called in about the I'm a 14-year veteran, and under Obama, we had a situation where we couldn't interact with any kind of terrorist or anything like that in a deployed environment unless they had fired on us first. It didn't matter if they had a gun pointed at us, whatever. And we're going through so many things where the police, we're just tying their hands behind their back, and everybody's talking about it being race when, I mean, if you look at the statistics from 2019, I know I don't have the numbers down exactly correct, but out of all the people that were pulled over, I think it was around 12 to 14 African-American unarmed citizens were shot, and 30-plus white individuals were also. If it's, I don't think it should just be about color. If it's a real issue with why aren't they saying, hey, police shootings are the issue, not police shooting African-Americans is the issue. And it just, I just don't think it should be about race.
It shouldn't be about race,
so
but
much.
Sorry to interrupt you. I didn't mean to interrupt. No, that's my bad. It certainly isn't about race. But more broadly, you have on roughly, 3.4 million, I think I saw, in 2019, police interactions with American citizens? 3.4 right. million? And the number of times that that ends in violence, I mean, really the number of times it ends in arrest, but the number of times that it ends in violence and death, it astronomically small. I mean, minimal. So,
I agree. And
go ahead.
Me, you have a ton of people that have never been in the situation where they had to wield a deadly weapon, and that's not something that anybody takes lightly. Having to take another person's life, whether it be in a war environment or especially stateside, I mean that's something that police officers don't get paid enough to deal with the things that they deal with, and it just. I all this defund the police and stuff, I don't want this to happen, but it's almost to the point where we just had, if they wiped out the police department and all the police officers went on strike and just let everything burn and see where these people stand then when all this is on their doorstep.
Well, I mean, Chicago is already one of the most violent places in America, and now they're telling police to stand down from foot chases?
Hmm.
You want to talk about violence? I mean, it's a honeypot for criminals. Nice cowboy hat.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's new. Do you like it?
I do.
Oh, boy.
You know, everything on Richard Dixon has shrunk except for his head.
He has shrunk.
Everything. That's one big head.
Have we totaled up the amount of weight within the staff that we've all lost?
You want to talk about total? I mean, because Dixon, what was yours, 65 pounds, 70 pounds, something like that? I was, total, I was 88, from my biggest.
Yes.
That's bigger than my dog right there. Bird, what are you, 40?
At 40 right now.
Wow,
40 pounds.
That's really good, guys.
No, we're 200. I'm not asking you what you are because that's not right.
Well, through this, I'm probably 15 down.
I mean, I think all total, we've lost a David Sears, and that's considerable.
I don't know about that.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's impressive. Thank you, Way to Wellness.
Hey, speaking of Richard Dixon, who is allowed back in studio now because, vaccines and all of that. Hey, Dixon, do me a favor, will you? Just a point of personal privilege. Tell me what the value of those are. I'm a good friend of ours, Birmingham police officer, wanted to know, and I told him that I would help him out with it, on these albums.
Mm-hmm.
I've got albums. I got, Houses of the Whole. I mean, I don't think I have Houses of the Whole.
Journey,
Kiss. My goodness gracious. Yeah.
Some good
all
ones.
Right, Richard's coming in here. We're going to find out from him. In just a moment, hold on. Right now, it's Brooks Burdett's
turn. Brooks Burdett is on the line. If you are looking for a fantastic attorney, you'll love Brooks. Handles all kinds of things, and she's on the phone with us now. Good morning to you, Brooks.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm tearing up thinking about you getting to see your mom.
My mama, yes.
And
don't get me going, Brooks. Don't get me going.
But the way you and your sister feel right now, can you imagine the way that your mom feels about to be able to hug
her girl? I think she's very giddy. I think she's very excited. Yes. We're going to have
now,
a blast.
If your mom is anything, my mom has long since gone to heaven. If your mom is anything like my mom, she is going to say, well, I've seen Matt since I've seen you.
She probably will say that. Hey, one of the things, while I'm traveling, you know, I gotta get in a big plane and fly. I have peace of mind because you did my will. So no worries there. If anything happens to me on my flight, I have all the peace of mind that I need. Thanks to you, and thanks for doing my will.
Yes, you are very welcome. And we've also discussed you as the daughter that you are and visits with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You have taken care of her.
Yep.
And you have made sure she has gotten all of her legal documents, which is so important because we do have that responsibility for our parents. That we make sure their will is in order, their power of attorney is in order, and their living will is in order. Mm-hmm. And you guys need to call me. Let me help you be the favorite child. And let's get this stuff knocked out for your parents.
Yeah.
You can call me directly at the office today, 205-661-1800. You can email me directly today, brooks@burdettlaw.com, or you can check us out on the website, burdettlaw.com.
Very good. Brooks, I hope you have a fabulous day. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thanks, Brooks.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Valerie, have a great time.
Thank you very much.
Valerie Vining's about to leave on a jet plane.
Let me just say this. No representation is made that the quality of the legal services to be performed is greater than the services performed by other lawyers.
Despite the fact that that's just what we did. It's odd. I think that every time I hear that disclaimer. Hey,
sorry.
Richard.
Yeah,
I'm forced to do that.
I never understood that either.
Hey, Richard.
Where are you going, Valerie? I haven't been listening all morning.
South Florida. I haven't seen my mother since the pandemic started, and last time I saw her was December of 2019. Oh, my gosh.
Does she want to see you? That's the question.
Well, kind of. Sometimes she does. Other times it's like, not so much. Yes, I'm very excited. She's excited.
She really wants to see her her adopted son.
Now. Uh-huh. Yeah, he's seen her since
I've seen Valerie's mother since Valerie's seen her.
That's right.
You went from afar.
And she tried to, I don't know if she wasn't thinking or whatever, but, you know, I almost bought it, right? This was like kind of in the heart of it, right? And you're worried about older people or whatever. And
Mom's in her 80s, mid-80s.
You know, and I said, well, I'll just say hello from her balcony or whatnot. And she tied a little red bandana around the balcony.
So you'd know which one it is.
And I was like, and I told Valerie, we're not going to, you know, be close to one another. I'm not going to endanger her. I'm traveling. I get it. And the first thing that Mama Vining does is, oh, let's just go to the pool. We'll just sit around the pool and it'll be fine. And I was almost suckered in, boy. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it.
There's a lot of chlorine there. By the way, I've only seen pictures of Valerie's mom, but let me ask you this, because she's in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Is she still weirdly hot?
Smoking hot.
I was just like,
smoking hot.
Mom, I hope you're listening to all of this morning. That's very kind of you.
Smoking hot. And the genes were obviously passed.
That's very sweet. I just pray I make it to that age. And I mean, she's just been active, and that's what's kind of done it.
Nobody wants me to make it to that age. I'll be drooling on myself.
Richard Dixon, yes, you want to make it to that age.
My memory's already starting to fade. By 80, it's going to be just completely gone. And
right.
Every time somebody talks to me, who are you again? It's too late. It's bad.
You look great.
Thank you. In terms of these records, these lovely vinyl pieces, you don't have Houses of the Holy. You have Physical Graffiti, which has the song Houses of the Holy on it, which is always weird.
Well, right. That's where I get confused.
The other group that did that was Queen. They had an album called Sheer Heart Attack, and Sheer Heart Attack appeared on a different, completely different album. You're like, what are you guys doing here? What is it?
Yeah, now you're just screwing with
it. It's the drugs. People with vinyl, they are under the impression that it's worth a lot of money. But fact is, there's a lot of vinyl out there. You can find it at every garage sale. Some of the most depressing times I've had is when people bring me a copy of Street Survivors with the band on fire, and they're like, this is worth a lot, right? And I'm like,
not so much.
It's about $8. I mean, I hate to be this
way. What about
way,
in the plastic, like not open? Would it be valuable then?
No, not really.
No, okay, never mind.
You know, it's certainly more valuable if it's in pristine condition, which these records are not. These records have been loved and played hard, which is great, and you should. I've never been a fan of buying things and then putting them away. You know, we're not going to touch that. We're saving that because that's a collector's item.
We had that conversation the other day about Billy Beer and the Bear Bryant Coca-Colas, right?
That I still have.
You think, oh, these are going to be so valuable.
They're worth something someday.
Nah.
They never are. And I remember one of my partners years ago was very into Beanie Babies, and he's got, I got a Humphrey the Camel. This is worth $900. I said, I will bet you $900 it's not worth $900.
You know what I think? I think we need to do, all of us that have those little collectibles,
for the love,
pass it on to somebody else and just keep telling them how valuable they are now.
Oh, yeah.
And if they'll hang on to them for another 25 years, you can't imagine how valuable. Just pass it on to them.
Yeah. Okay.
Just give it to that person.
I have to reset that because you're right there in my wheelhouse. Valerie and I have this discussion the other day. I'm trying to clean, again, trying to clean things out of the house.
God bless you.
And E has this big tub of Beanie Babies. And I'm like, what are you doing? She said, well, I want to give them to the thing on the thing, but I don't want them to do this, and they're worth something. I said, no, they're not. I said, I tell you what, I will sell the Beanie Babies. I will figure out what the Beanie Babies are worth. Plus, we need to get rid of these VHS tapes of Disney movies. She goes, no, we can't do that. I said, Erica, we don't have a VCR.
Yeah.
So we can't functionally use them. And you have every single one of these movies on DVD.
Yeah.
You don't need them anymore. And then immediately we talk about this on the radio and people go, oh my God, do you have Beauty and the Beast? And I'm like, well, yes, I have Beauty and the Beast on VHS. Oh, well, that's worth $15,000. I got people that sent me this Bravo Sierra nonsense about, oh, if it's a diamond edition, it's worth $15,000. No, it's not.
You know what it's worth? Exactly what you can sell it for, and not one penny more.
Well, what they do is some smart butts go on eBay, and they say, hey, $15,000 for this copy of Beauty and the Beast. Well, nobody bids on it.
Yeah.
Nobody's buying it. No. But people take a snapshot of that and go, see what they're selling
this
for on eBay?
Somebody had an open bottle of Aunt Jemima syrup that they claimed was $312. And I was like, hey. Well, because it had the Aunt Jemima logo and all this, which, of course, is gone now.
I can still find that. I got some at home right now.
Yeah, I have some at home as well. I don't eat that much syrup. No. So, plus, it keeps forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I got a $312 bottle of syrup. Well, more of it has been used. It's probably only worth like $304 now compared to what the guy had on
what
eBay.
What a load.
All right, so what you're saying, bottom line, is if I give my friend the friendship amount of $40 or $50.
Yeah.
He should
be happy with that because and there's some good records in there. You got Kiss. You got
Something to play it on.
Who's
play them on?
I'm telling you, I've
Did
got
you
this incredible.
Something?
Well, I went to New Mexico. My wife lost her grandfather a couple of years ago, and we drove out to New Mexico. And unbeknownst to us, when we left, they had something for her.
Was a gigantic Magnavox?
No,
it was
not a Magnavox. It was not a Magnavox. It was a Zenith console stereo with the record player and the 8-track, and it's got the one with the microphone you can sing along with the thing. And so that's down in the pool room, and now the needle is all screwed up, so I got to fix it.
That's fixable.
Could you imagine trying to loot one of those in the George Floyd riots? I mean, you know.
You can't put that under your arm.
Well, if I could get it on my shoulder, it'd be the ultimate boombox. Yeah,
really.
Just the extension
I got stuff to do. I'm leaving.
All right, thanks for your
Richard.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks
it's great
for
to see you.
Expertise. Thanks for being the big downer. Your records are worth nothing. And don't go to Second and Charles and tell me they're worth what Second and Charles sells them for.
Yeah, you won't. Just exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I totally. I'm there with you.
You get the big screw job.
Do you think I could sell my Coke bottles there?
You could try. Once again, worth what someone's willing to pay for it.
They're not going to pay much. Oh well. Again, I'll give them to some other sucker that'll hang on to them for another 25 or 30 years.
All right, so David, you got your price there. I found my expert on the record.
Sounds
front.
Fair. It sounds about right.
Yeah, it sounds good. Earl is next in Oak Grove. Earl, good morning.
How y'all doing?
Oh,
pretty good, Earl. Uh huh. No. All right, so Earl, we're going to get you in a better sell situation. We'll go to Marie and Hayden right now. Marie, good morning.
Hi, Marie.
Oh, my gosh. Bless y'all.
Yes, bless you. Yes.
Yes, sir. I hope y'all are having a wonderful day, by the way.
We are.
Doing our best.
Yes. Awesome. 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 Me too. The Chicago and the no guns, but the thugs have them. I mean, come on now. It's not fair to the police officers at all. I totally respect the police officers. Let's see. There was a Jim that called in earlier from Locust Fork, Alabama, Locust Fork, Blount County, because I'm from Blount County as well. He put in 14 years of veteran service. I just want to tell him thank you as well. White minority, that's what we are. I mean, even though I'm not just, I don't know what white is. Like, I'm German, Indian, and a splash of Irish. I'm just a hot mess, okay? So I own that. But something's got to be done with that dadgum. Oh, and by the way, Bird, keep that stuff up, baby. Keep it going, baby. Keep it up. Keep it up, doll. But the nuts commercial that y'all have, my mind goes straight to the damn gutter. Now, I apologize, but I am just like my daddy. And when it's called nuts.com, come on. Where am I supposed to go with this? I love y'all. Y'all keep it up because y'all keep me going every morning. And I just love y'all to death.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. I think
is that the commercial where the guy says, everybody loves nuts?
Yeah, yes. The whole ad is, Murray, it's okay, girl.
It reminds me of the old joke. Guy goes to the doctor's office, and you know they take him into the room, and you know how you're by yourself in the room for a minute before the doctor comes
looking
in.
Looking around,
yeah.
There's a poster on the wall.
Right,
oh, is that how that's supposed to look?
And
no wonder that's why I'm here.
Before the doctor comes in, the guy gets totally undressed,
right,
and naked from head to toe. And a doctor walks in and says, I know your problem. And the guy says, what? And he goes, well, clearly you're nuts. I know. I messed up the joke. I see you're nuts. I messed up the joke.
It's okay.
I totally screwed up the joke.
Here, let's start again.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
Everybody,
you ready?
Take
let's
two.
Let's pretend like I didn't screw it up.
Take two.
Ready.
Go.
Reminds me of that old joke, Valerie.
Yeah, Matt.
I don't know if you've ever heard it. Guy goes to the psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist.
Uh-huh. I screwed it up.
Okay.
Total.
Okay.
All
right. Wait.
All right.
Take three.
Ready, go.
Go.
All right. It reminds me of that old joke, Valerie.
Oh, yeah. What joke, Matt?
I don't know if you've heard it, but, you know, guy goes to the psychiatrist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, they take him in, and the doctor hasn't come in yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes off all of his clothes. Mm-hmm. And so the psychiatrist comes in, guy standing buck naked. And the doctor says, well, I know what your problem is because I can clearly see your nuts.
That's much better. Thank you. On the third day.
Guy goes to the doctor. Hold on. Guy goes to the doctor.
Got another one.
And he says,
okay, go slow.
I know. And okay. Guy goes to the doctor and he says, doctor, you gonna help me? And the doctor says, What's the trouble? And he goes, well, it's not me, it's my wife. What's wrong with your wife? Well, she thinks she's a piano. What? She thinks she's a piano. She thinks she's a piano. He says, well, why don't you bring her in here? He goes, are you crazy? You know how hard it is to move a piano? All right, finally. Guy goes to the doctor. I can do this all day.
Third
finally,
doctor joke.
Number three. Guy goes to the doctor. He says, doctor, you got to help me. And the doctor says, what's the problem? And the guy says, one second, I think I'm a wigwam. And the next second, I'm a teepee. I'm a wigwam. I'm a teepee. I'm a wigwam. I'm a teepee. And the doctor says, whoa, calm down. You are too tense.
That was pretty good. Too tense.
Get it?
Yes, I got
too
it.
Tense.
Too tense. Tense. Get it? We got it. I like the first one.
Second show's non-smoking, folks. No Leland tomorrow.
No Leland.
Andrew McLean in for Whaley tomorrow afternoon. I think Leland's out Monday as well.
Wow.
There you go.
But get ready with a Friday and Matt is
man,
solo.
Man.
It could be something else.
Melton out.
Mm-hmm. Leland out. Val out.
Val out.
Sorry,
I mean,
y'all.
Goodness gracious. Hopefully Richard's here. I don't say that very often. 545-9950 if you'd like to be a part of the show. You're always invited. Ken is next in Arundelay. Hello, Ken.
Hey, got a doctor joke for you. Guy calls his doctor. He says, doctor, I get a sharp stabbing pain in my eye. Every time I try to drink coffee, doctor says, take the spoon out of the cup.
Hey!
Pretty good, Ken. Pretty good.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, Ken will be here all the week. Tip your waiters and
see what you've done. See what you've started.
We might do that tomorrow.
We need
it bad. We've got a lot of difficult things going on in the news. We've got an absent president of the United States who has reached peak stupidity when he tells us about the July 4th deal. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and the VP, who's kind of absent, hadn't been to the... Can we talk... Why are we just ignoring what's happening at the border? I mean, completely ignoring it.
If nothing...
Not us. I'm talking about the mainstream media.
If nothing else, it demonstrates, just know this, the media pretended to be concerned about these children and these illegal alien migrants.
That's evident now, yes.
They pretended during Trump because they wanted to make Trump look bad. They don't give a damn about them. If they did, they would expose what's going on the southern border now. Mm-hmm. If it was a humanitarian crisis then, you're damn right it's a humanitarian crisis right now.
Just think about that for a minute, everyone. How it's just being ignored. And before, all the focus was on building the wall. Why are we building a wall? Well, this is why we're building a wall.
This is why we're building a wall. To prevent people from harming themselves by thinking that the door is open.
It's not. Way to go, Joe. Mm.
Doctor, guys, goes to the doctor. Doctor says, I've got some bad news. I've got bad news and very bad news. The lab called with your test results, and they said you have 24 hours to live. The patient says, 24 hours? That's awful. What's the other bad news? Doctor says, I've been trying to call you since yesterday.
I'm laughing, but I guess I shouldn't be laughing. Never mind. That's not so funny, Matt. That's not a funny joke. That's very serious. That's not funny at all. Actually.
Guy goes to the doctor. Doctor says, you're very sick. Guy says, can I get a second opinion? Doctor says, of course you can. You're ugly, too. See you tomorrow,
folks. You guys have a great day.
Have a nice trip.
Thank you much.